Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Radio Rehab, where we always take advantage of this hour to talk to people that are recovering from addictive disorders and people that are helpful in the community of folks that we know and love that are trying to recover. Scott has been a friend of Radio Rehab since he got sober. You can see him also on the Brentwood commercials. He's the star of what recovery can look like, no doubt about it. And you can go to the rooms and see lots of faces like Scott. He's fired up about recovery. He loves his life. And we were just talking before the show about how important it is to be honest and how liberating. He used the word liberation in just describing authenticity. So he's come out of the closet about his addictive disorder to whoever and whenever he can. He doesn't hide it. I told him he's like the Betty Ford of the tri-state because he's open, and I think you will really enjoy hearing him today. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, family members, spouses, people that you care about and just need to hear from an expert on what works and what worked for him, don't hesitate to call us at Radio Rehab. We want to answer your questions, your concerns, and be sure that we leave you with a little hope by the end of the hour. So I've got to introduce you to my friend Scott, who is just an incredible energy of what recovery looks like. And it's not just about not drinking and drugging. The quality of his life and his character today have been transformed as a result of being in recovery and working the steps. So I'm very happy he's here visiting from Indianapolis. Hasn't had a drink since August of 2012. So thank you, Scott. I could just talk. August of 2010. He's almost got 3 years, another couple weeks. So and it shows all over the place. So his life took a huge change in August of 2010, and he's going to tell us about it. Thanks for coming from Indianapolis to talk to us today, Scott. Love you.
Thank you, Lisa. I love you, too. It's good to be back home. I got the chance to move to Indianapolis a little over a year ago after being sober for almost 2 years. But this is still home.
Yeah.
This is where I got sober. This is where the love of family members stepped up and said, we need you, and we want you to get help, we want you to get better. And, you know, I went into Brentwood on that date, August the 14th of 2010, and I was ready to change my life. It was going down the tubes. You know, people are dying every single day from this disease, and they don't have to.
Yeah.
They don't have to if they don't want to. And we can stop. People can stop this disease, but it's up to us to say, I'm done, and my life has done a 180. It is just phenomenal.
It shows all over you, too. You've always been fired up about it. How did you get to that point? How do we get there with folks? How do we help them get there to that place of surrender?
I think the number one thing for me was to connect with people who are just like me, who are in the recovery program, people who have experience and strength and hope to share with me, and I didn't feel alone anymore. I didn't feel like I was the only person out there that had done such horrific things to family members and myself. And the fact that they could show me how great their life was. And then said, come on, man, come along for this ride because it's awesome.
Yeah.
Carrying that message of hope, you know.
But you heard it.
I heard it.
Because a lot of people carry it, but you heard it.
I heard it because I knew that I was going to be one of those people that was going to die eventually, whether it's by my own taking or this disease will kill you.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do that.
So, Scott, are you from this area, born and raised?
Born and raised in Evansville, Indiana. I've been here all up until I went to Indianapolis a year ago. So I was very...
Homegrown.
Yeah. It's good to be back. I get to come back about every other week with my job. But it was the first time in 14 years that I got to reconnect with my children. Mm. And that has been one of the coolest things of all. I got to watch my son play high school baseball, play summer baseball, be where my daughters are. I do have one that's in Louisville who just graduated from with her master's. I have a daughter at Ball State, and then my oldest is married and living in India, and we get a chance to do things all the time. So that's really been probably the best thing, and was the number one reason for going.
Yeah.
But since I've got there, more amazing things have happened to me.
So you owe it all to not drinking.
I owe it all to wow. the program of AA, the mm-hmm. program of whatever.
So following how did a nice guy steps. Like you get off into an addiction?
I don't know.
Because I know it didn't look like it started out that way in your life, did
it? No, it didn't. You know, I certainly didn't pick up the first drink or do my first drug and go, I'm going to become an alcoholic or an addict. The consequences of my actions after doing it created a lot of emotional pain and remorse, guilt, and I didn't know how to deal with that. You know, I didn't face it up to it. I didn't face up to my mistakes. I hid them.
Yeah.
And drank them away and drug them away until the next day would come. And there they are again.
And the secrets keep accumulating.
Oh, they just, yes. And you don't know which one you told here and what you said over here and who this is said to. And the next thing you know.
It's a big lie.
It's a big lie. And it's coming down on top of me. Mm. You know, I owe it to my family, my sisters, and my nephew for the intervention.
So families can really help stop this thing.
Family members, in my mind, are the start.
Yeah.
Because I found out they love me. They love me regardless of what happened.
And they don't live the lie like you do in an addiction. They make you see this is a lie.
This is a lie, yeah. And we want you to get help. We right. love you. We don't like what you're doing.
Were they enabling you like a lot of family members
no.
do or not really?
No. No, they weren't because I was so isolated in my own little world mm-hmm. that they didn't physically see a lot what was going on, I don't think. They saw it, I think, on my face and in my actions and in the way I... Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they didn't physically see it, but they could see the drain that it was taken. And, you know...
So they came and did an intervention or...
I was living at my sister's house, my oldest sister's house, and it was kind of... It's not funny, but I was telling my oldest sister that I was going to these meetings. And at the time, I thought she...
Hold on the sister going lying about going to meetings. Somebody's okay. calling. Good morning. Welcome to Radio Rehab.
Good morning. This is Jacqueline Robinson calling. And I'm calling for when they got to the top and I felt this pain. Because see, I was in a situation where I had to take and how I started getting better was when I found out that I did have a problem. And there's a lot of people may say this is bad about me, but I'm a country girl and I love every family community, so when I come in contact with always speaking show love. But the point of it is, this young man is so with his pain. If he can pick up a pen and a piece of paper and write down things that he do during the day, like a note, what you can come across as doing better. You know, write down the goals and the situations, and that'll help you. Now, I found out with my mom, she wrote poetry, and so I got to get from her and get from God. And as I life is so sweet. To lose the devil and put him down. The devil has showed up, and his time is in the ground. All of the property of bad is just about gone. Hold on to God and Jesus, and you won't be alone. All of the people in the world are having problems, you see. It's all about heaven, and that's the way it will be. There's better days ahead. Like Martin Luther King said, that one day we will all be equal and set free. See, and God wants to set this gentleman free. And if you don't talk so much about what you used to do or what you've done, talk about what God brought you out of. God brought you out, sir. You're alive. Everybody has blood in their body running and can able to talk. They thank you, Jesus. Give God some praise and stuff.
Well,
and
thank you.
You will come out a conqueror. You may have to still take medicine and you may not.
Well,
but
thank you.
Be a fighter and a leader and run with a torch. That's what my mama told me, and I lost my mother. That was close to 3 years ago. She said, Jackie, she said, run and run with the torch. She said, don't look back. Move on.
Thanks, Jackie. Well, thank you. Thank you. We will take that thought on. I appreciate you calling and sharing that. Wow, what a poem.
Yes, it was. That's really awesome. And the part where she said, you know, we have to have a higher power in our life.
Yeah.
Mine is God. And to have a power so much greater than me, who I know I can turn a daily problem over to, helps me focus on the tasks at hand.
Yeah. Well, like we were talking before, too, when we get down and when we get up, we run to God. Group of drunks.
Group of drunks.
See
good
God there
direction.
All right.
Anything that works
for that person. Absolutely. And I like what she said about talking about how we came out of it. And I think that's what you said before the show. I really want to share the solution. But what we have to also share where we were.
Absolutely.
You know, what happened, what we're like today, and
absolutely,
where we were. That's how it works for us.
Kind of getting back to the intervention thing, you know, I was at my sister's, and you know, she thought I was going to recovery meetings, and I thought I told her I was going to counseling, and
you didn't have to tell her you were going to get a fix, for God's sake.
No, why would I tell her that?
Oh,
so
yes.
You know, I was coming back to her house after the meetings and still drinking, and finally,
she's wondering, boy, those meetings don't work very well.
Yeah,
huh?
I don't think this is working for him. And this was a Saturday, and I hear my nephew's voice in her house, and I look down the steps, and he's there with a couple of sheriffs. I was like, whoa. Not knowing that they were there to make sure I was alive first, because my sister really didn't know if I was or wasn't alive at that point, because I was still sleeping. And
wow.
They just said, can you come down here? We'd like to talk to you. You know, and I knew right then exactly what was going to happen.
That moment of truth hit.
And yet still was trying to figure out a way to
avoid it.
And I was going to come up with some bizarre story.
Wait, don't go away, Radio Rehab. We've got to take a break. Don't go away. We got to come back and hear what happened next with Scott. We'll be right back. Okay, Scott, we'll pick up where we left off. You were getting the big intervention.
Yeah, like I said, I think I came out, looked down the steps. There's my nephew with a Warwick County sheriff's deputy who actually was a friend as well. Mm-hmm. And I looked down there, and I knew why they were there. And yet before I went down there to actually talk to him, my mind still said, I've got to come up with something. I've got
some
to
line.
Come up with some lie to tell them, oh, with no big deal, I don't need help. Don't ask me about all that.
Is that the first time they ever confronted you?
Yeah, I mean, really, seriously, yeah. You know, confronted me. And so I walked down the steps, and I sat down. And the officer said, Scott, your family is very worried about you, and they think you might need some help. They didn't bring up the word drugs, and they didn't bring up the word alcohol.
Hmm.
And my nephew said to me the words that probably really made it all okay, was he said, Scott, we love you. Mom loves you. My other sister loves you, and they just want you to be okay. They want you to get some help. And that was like the first thing that took this weight off, like, wow, okay, this is going to work. This will work because I have this love. The people that I was turning my back on, the people
so
that I was isolating from.
They didn't come to you angrily.
Now,
they came to you with love but firm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the officer said, I asked the officers, I said, is it going to be okay? He said, I promise you it will be okay. And I went to Gateway, the emergency room, got an assessment, tested positive for cocaine, and said at that point, I don't care where you send me, I will go anywhere you want me to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
You just kind of surrendered right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I did because
the drug screen was positive for cocaine.
Yeah.
You think, or just
no? I just think because all the game was up, all the cards were on the table. Everybody started putting two and two together. I was in such a grip of addiction to cocaine and alcohol that I was, you know, I was pawning my mother's jewelry. Mm. I was begging for checks from her that she was writing, you know, and telling him it was for this misguided reason, and always going to pay her back. I'm going to pay you back.
Right.
Going to pay you back.
And you mean it?
And you know,
at the time?
No. Yes, I did.
I mean,
you mean
it, but then you're borrowing again.
Absolutely.
The addiction's,
you know,
taking it all.
Unknowing, you know, my sisters are seeing this, but I didn't know that they knew.
Were you the only boy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so
the bad boy of the family, huh?
I think so, but you know, not today.
That's the
best part.
Right.
You know, today what's so cool, and I'm kind of skipping around here,
that's
all right. But today, what I have with my family, with my sisters, with nieces, nephews, whoever, if they need me, I'm there for them.
You're dependable today.
I am dependable today.
When you say you'll pay it back, you will. When you say you'll show up, you will.
I will. If they have something they need to talk to me about,
they're
calling me. And
isn't that a gift?
That is a miracle.
Coming to you for advice.
Yep. Yep. And they know that I'm there. And they know that I will try my best to help.
Yeah.
So kind of getting back to this intervention thing, you know, my sisters were not happy with me.
Mm.
You know, they didn't come in giving me any pity, but they came in and said, we love you. And I walked into Brentwood, and I was done, man. I was absolutely done.
You mean the minute you walked in and went through all that, you knew you were in it to win it?
I was
in,
yeah. Mm. You know, at first I thought, well, they're going to show me how to stop.
Slow down.
Slow down. Or, you know, they're going to show me how to
get off the cocaine,
off cocaine
but still
and
drink.
This and that and the other. And they show me how life can be without it. You know, and I had to have it physically removed from me. I know a lot of people that come through the programs and in recovery that say, I just was done, so I started going to meetings. Not me.
Yeah. There aren't too many like that.
I had to have it physically removed from my...
Go to rehab. Go to treatment.
Absolutely. Spent, I think, about 12 days there.
Inpatient?
Yep. And I didn't... I mean, whatever group was going on, I was there. If we did little craft things, I made a craft. You know, whatever.
Wow. You got involved right from the start.
If they had told me to go outside and eat dirt, that'll keep me sober. I'll go outside and eat dirt.
You had that gift of desperation.
I had it because I was so sick and tired of lying and manipulating, and I was so afraid. I had so much fear. Mm. You know, just this fear of everything.
That impending doom.
The fear of the impending calamity.
That's going to happen. I just know.
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Ugh, what a horrible fear to walk around with.
Yeah, it's a crappy life. I heard somebody say that when they were in the grips of their problems, when they woke up every day, it felt like they were being sentenced to live another day. And that's almost what it was like.
Ooh. Yeah, and how do we tell people? Nobody wants that.
No.
Who wants that?
You know, it was no longer... Alcohol and drugs were no longer something fun to do.
Right, right.
It was a chore. Mm. It was a necessity in my life to survive a day, is the way I felt.
That's a good way to describe it. It stopped being a luxury and became a chore.
Yeah, absolutely.
A drudgery. A sentence.
A sentence. I also heard that I love this, is that the fundamental difference between an alcoholic drug addict and a non-alcoholic drug addict is the non-alcoholic will change their behaviors to meet their goals. The alcoholic and drug addict will change their goals to meet their behaviors. Mm. And I can look back on my life.
That's a great analogy.
I can look back on my life and from where it started, that if I had went to college, when I went to college, I changed my major 3 times because I didn't want to have to study as hard as what I started
the
out
original.
To do. Because I wanted to be where the parties are.
So you were a party animal.
I liked it.
In those days, yeah.
Yeah, I liked going to the parties.
Yeah.
And so I would change my goal so
to meet your
my
using
behavior.
History.
Absolutely.
Mm. With no clue where it was taken.
No clue.
Sure.
Had no idea how far and how deep this thing was going to go.
Yeah.
And it, like I said, it went from, oh, this is fun. I can't wait to do. You know, the weekend's coming, so I've got a buddy that's going to supply me with my drugs, and I've got plenty of alcohol, and I'm going to have a great weekend. And I look back on it today, and I remember now that Monday through Thursday, without the drugs, I had the alcohol, but didn't have the drugs. So that Monday through Thursday, my mind, I was thinking. I couldn't wait for that Friday to get there. And
that's
I didn't know
torture.
That.
How long were you addicted?
Well,
couple decades or
yeah, I'm thinking
years.
Probably. And when I went into treatment, I was 53, 54.
My God,
yeah.
Scott, you look great for your age. You don't
Thank
look
you.
It. You don't even look 50. You were pickled.
Yeah, I think I was well preserved.
I think you're right.
But I went in and they have these. We have a goal review sheet that you fill out each day, and I got there on a Saturday night, and it was a Sunday when I filled out my first one, and it said how many days you've been sober, and I wrote 2. And I thought to myself, I don't remember 2 days ever from the time probably I was 23 that I did not have two consecutive
days
without a drink or a drug. Yeah. I couldn't think of it.
30 years?
I couldn't think of it. I was doing it even when you had I had a couple medical procedures that you said don't drink alcohol before it. I was drinking alcohol before it. I didn't care.
Wow, that's a long addiction.
It is.
No wonder you were ready. Don't go away, Radio Rehab. We're talking to Scott, who's visiting Radio Rehab from Indianapolis, a good friend of the show, good friend of the recovering community. We will be right back.
You're at a party.
Oh, shoot. We're back talking to Scott and how we changed our goals to match our addictive disorder. I mean, we can laugh about it, but it's not funny at the time. So, Scott, your family did the intervention. You got into treatment, took to it like a duck takes to water, and then what?
I spent 12, I think 12 days there, and one of the coolest things that happened to me in treatment Now, my kids in this at this point in time had been had moved to Indianapolis. Their mother and I got divorced, and I had really hurt my kids. I didn't see them much anymore. There were, I mean, I didn't go to my oldest daughter's wedding. Mm.
Didn't walk her down the aisle?
No. And the circumstances, you know, I don't want to get into all that part of it. But these are the things that alcohol and drugs were taking
the bottom.
Me to. Yeah. This, the enemy of alcohol and drugs was taking me to this horrible place. And I did, and I felt horrible about not going. So I just kept drinking and drugs, sure. You know, to get kill that pain. So while I was in there, I called them. I called all my kids. And all three of my daughters were... They were crying, and I told my oldest, I said, I don't know how to say this, but I am just so sorry about what happened. I don't know what to do. I'm sorry. And the miracle of being sober, the miracle of living life without drugs and alcohol started there, because about 3 or 4 days later, I got a card in the mail at Brentwood from my kids, excuse me, and they all signed it. But my daughter that I didn't go to her wedding wrote in this card, and this, I keep it in my car all the time. It said, "Dad, you will and always will be my dad. I will and will always will be your daughter. I love you unconditionally. We can walk through this hand in hand." And
she's walking you down the aisle.
I am crying there, you know, and I knew right then and there that was one of those moments of clarity. That was one of those moments that said,
it's just not about me anymore.
Nope. And there's a miracle that's starting.
You started thinking of others and how you affected others.
I went at recovery in there, and then when I got out, you know, I did some things that they told me to do in recovery. They taught me about my disease. They taught me about how to treat your disease. You know, I've asked, you know, they say, well, this will kill you. Yes, it will. It's alcoholism is no different than cancer, really.
Right.
It's deadly. Progressive. There's no cure, and it's deadly.
That's right.
But we can treat our disease. People like mm-hmm. it can be treated by doing some simple things, and that's kind of what they taught me. And when I got out of treatment, I jumped into the program, both feet.
Well, and it sounds like part of the transformation for you was 3 days in, you were a little dried out.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you'd been clean in 30 years, 3 days, and you started realizing how you were affecting others. You got out of that self-centered, addictive mindset, like, oh my God, I've got children and sisters and nephews and nieces that love me.
Yeah, and a mother.
And a mother, yeah. And you started to think of them.
Exactly. And I started getting a little humility.
Right,
and
right.
I started realizing that, okay, I hurt these people, but now if I do what I am instructed to do to stay sober, then these people that I hurt so bad, they'll see a living human being who is dependable, loving, caring, and there for others.
Which is probably what you were raised to be to begin with.
I'm sure.
Before the drink and drug.
Yeah.
You kind of got restored to the character that you were raised and wanted to be, but addiction robbed you of it.
It did. I mean, addiction will take you to places that you never dreamed you'd do.
Yeah. You know, Marvelline does this show once a month, so and then Kelly on another Saturday, but Marvelline has compared it to a cancer.
It is.
And she says it's a cancer in our community, not just in the individual, in the community, the denial in the community.
Yeah.
Lack
yeah, I'm
of resources.
Not that bad. I'm
and the
not
lack of
that
resources.
Bad.
You got to go to rehab. A lot of people don't.
No, they don't. And
they don't go. They just...
I think it's out there for everybody.
I think you're right. It's NAA's free. NA's free.
And it's just a matter of sticking your toe in the water and it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And that's what it was for me. Somebody had to look me in the face and say, it's going to be okay. You do not have to do this ever again if you don't want to. And that's what the therapist in at Brentwood, my counselor, that's the first thing he said to
Ed.
Me.
Ed.
He said, you don't have to do this anymore if you don't want to. How? That's what we're going to show you.
But you responded, Scott. You took to this and got so excited about sobriety from the start.
I still am.
I know, even more so. It's like, wow, seeing you with that smile and that contagious gratitude.
I still am. I wake up every day, and each day is the greatest day of my life. And
so do you think it's just you had to adjust your attitude? Or you think, because I don't believe God gave that to Scott anymore. I don't believe in a God that works that way. What made Scott respond to that where others don't? I'll never understand that.
I guess because I created so much wreckage and I didn't want to do that anymore.
So it's just a simple decision in your little head people need to make.
Yep.
That I quit.
And the other thing is to find out I wasn't alone. I wasn't standing here
isolated
by myself, and nobody else has these problems that I do. And the people that have the same disease embrace you, love you unconditionally, mm-hmm. and say, come on, man, get on this boat. Look what we have. And that's what I wanted.
Do you think that's what made the difference for you?
That's one of the biggest ones.
You had a group of people that took you out of the hiding, out of isolation.
I had a group of people that I know at any point in time, day or night, I can call them. I had a group of people that we formed a bond and a friendship here, that we ate lunch together.
And that's so important.
Meetings, sharing, going early, staying after.
Hmm.
And that was awesome.
You did the footwork.
And I had to take some action.
Yeah.
I had to get off my
right
backside and take action. This program's not going to be taught. You know, somebody
given
basically, and we'll show you. Look what we do, and you don't have to do anything.
Right.
No, this program is like, you want what we have. Here's how we got it.
Yeah. What's that saying? We were talking about the bumper stickers during the break. One of them is, if you pray for potatoes, you still got to get the hoe.
Exactly.
I love that.
Exactly.
That says pray on.
Yeah.
But get the hoe. Get some action.
You have got to do some action.
That's the key.
There was fear in that action.
Yeah.
Some of them are very.
I bet after 30 years, you probably thought you had to start all over again.
Yeah, and you had to go back, and I had to go back and make these lists of things that I'd harm people, and that was not fun, but it's liberating. We said the word liberating.
Yeah.
It's a freeing, it's the most freeing thing I've ever done in my life.
That's an awesome word, isn't it?
It
liberation.
Is. Liberation. It is, because I'm free.
Mm-hmm.
Based upon.
Free from living a lie.
Free from living a lie.
Whew.
And, I sometimes can't even put it into words.
You don't have to. It shows in your actions, but it shows in your face, too.
And I love being here.
Yeah, and Evansville, we're glad when you come back.
Yeah.
Indianapolis, they must have zillions of meetings.
They do. And when I left for Indy, the greatest thing was I got the opportunity to go back or go to the town where my kids live and reconnect with them. And my sponsor here in Evansville, he said, I'm going to tell you two things to do. Go to meetings, get a sponsor. And so I got there on a Saturday, and I went to three meetings. I went to a meeting Saturday, Sunday, three on Monday, and found my sponsor Monday night, asking to be my sponsor on Tuesday, and he has been.
Wow.
I walked right into
the middle of it.
Yes. People that we share the same things.
Mm-hmm.
We like to fish. We like to play golf. They are now my family up there as well. You know, my recovery family.
Yeah.
And I have met a person, a woman up there who is phenomenal.
What a gift there.
That's a wonderful gift.
To learn how to have relationships.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And,
what a gift.
You know, and it obviously works because all of my kids are, they like this deal. We're a family. And it just doesn't get any better than that.
Isn't that the truth? And we is the first word of the 12 steps.
Yes, it is.
And we learn more about the we the longer we're sober.
Absolutely.
Don't go away, Radio Rehab. We'll be right back to finish talking to Scott and grabbing some of his gratitude. Don't go away. Be right back. Well, this goes too fast, Scott.
It does.
But it means so much that you took the time to come down to the station and share with us this morning while you're home, because I know you're busy.
Well,
thank you.
You know, if there's one thing that I have learned is I must give back what's been given to me, whether it's doing a commercial for Brentwood, being here,
Sponsoring people.
If I'm asked to give my lead, you give it. All of these things that have been freely given to me, I have to give back. And it's a joy to give it back. I mean, it's a joy. I'm not afraid of my disease. I'm not going to ever hide it from anybody that asks me. Most of the people know what's going on in my life, and that's okay, because today there is nothing that can happen to me that would be so bad that a drink or a drug will make better.
And that's something you know for sure.
I know that for sure. I've 100% seen people. I have seen people who have had years of sobriety, that will let up on something to do with their program.
Mm-hmm.
That will share in a meeting, well, I forgot to do this, and I quit doing this, and I quit doing that part of it. And I sit and listen to that, and I think, holy moly. Every one of them says, it's worse. It is worse to go back out.
It is.
And it gets worse quicker.
And you watch it.
People, yeah. And I just don't want to go there.
Yeah. Do you think for you, just in closing, one of the things you had to accept without any reservation, any doubt, was that you could not pick up one drink or one drug one day at a time?
Absolutely. I was told by my sponsor here in Evansville, when I first got to meet with him, he simply said, I only have to be sober 24 hours. I never have to be sober 25 or 26. 24 hours, one day at a time.
Do you think that helped?
Absolutely.
For you to think in that term? Because people always want to promise off. I'll never do that again.
Yeah, it's like...
Don't do that.
Or I hear people say, man, I wish I had 20 years. Or I wish... I'm going to one of these days have 20 years. For me, it's one
today.
Day. It's just living today. And
look at you, since August 14th, 2010, those one days.
That's a lot of one days.
Yes.
And I'm proud of that.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm pretty proud of the fact that I've been like that. It's a miracle.
You've been sober now 10% of the time you were addicted.
That works. And you know what? If
30 years, now you got 3.
I don't know if I'll ever make the full half and half, but you know what? I got today.
That's it.
And... I got to wake up sober, and when I do, I just simply say in my morning meditation, just keep me sober.
Any last minute words for our audience that have people they love that they're concerned about? Anything that you, besides get them to go to meetings if you can, but any last...
I think the thing that I would say... to anybody is to tell a loved one, or if anybody's listening that is in the grips of addictions, that it is going to be okay. It can be okay. Mm-hmm. That if it hurts so bad right now, if that pain becomes greater than the pain of maybe trying to change, it's going to be okay.
Hang on,
man. It works. This program will work. No matter which direction you go with it.
Yeah.
And if you have a family member, there are ways to help them.
Well, it sounds like, back to the beginning of the show, what really got
Absolutely.
Your attention was your family.
Absolutely.
So maybe family, you know, we think the judges are so powerful now, and a nudge from the judge has been good, but it sounds like when it all comes down to it, the family really needs to rally around.
Yep, it is the family, and it's amazing. That's unconditional love of a family member.
Mm-hmm. Firm, fair, but loving.
But loving, and... Mm-hmm. We know that, you know, they knew all the pain and the suffering and the hurt, but they still loved me. And that was the key.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, when I worked in the courts, it was the parents that showed up at the jail cells, not the friends. It was the family.
Yeah, the family's going to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm able to be there.
Now you're a family.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming.
Well,
you
thank
look
you, Lisa.
Fabulous.
Thank
Happy
you very
anniversary,
much.
3 years, a couple weeks early, so we a few more one day at
thank
a time.
You.
But
yeah, God willing, we'll get
yes,
there.
Yes, God willing. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you,
for
Lisa.
Coming. And next week, it's Marvelline back here talking with folks from the community about how to help get people where Scott is today and where I am today. So come back next week and listen to Marvelline. And don't forget, between now and next Saturday, to do the next right thing.